today we're going to talk about living fearlessly, living fearlessly. And those of you who know me, you're probably like, wait a second, you, Danny, are going to talk to us about living fearlessly? Aren't you afraid of absolutely everything? Yes, I am. But I'm, you know, I do have some things that I want to share with you all. The other day I was scrolling through Instagram, and I guess this is a thing now, but I saw this dude who his hobby is climbing up the tallest buildings in the world. He walks alongside of the edges of these buildings. He hangs off of the edges of these buildings, sometimes with one hand. He takes photos or has other people take photos of him. He jumps from one ledge to another ledge. Mind you, if like he misses a step, he's falling to his death. And then as I was doing more research, I realized it wasn't just this one guy. Like, this is a thing. People are doing this, I guess, for likes on Instagram. Let me show you this video that I came across so you can see how nutty these people are.
Oh, that just scares the bejesus out of me.
Oh.
How insane is that, people? Like, just watching that makes me want to throw up. You know, I'm going to start practicing them. Yeah, but it's crazy. I can't even believe that. And then I was watching a documentary. I guess I started getting into, like, crazy people who do nutty things. And I was learning about this guy. His name is Alex Honnold. He is what some people call a free soloist. And basically what that means is he's a rock climber, and he climbs some very high heights, but he does it without any sort of protective equipment. He doesn't have a harness. He doesn't have a strap. He doesn't have ropes that he takes with him. Look at some of these photos that I found of Alex. That's him hanging. You see, there's like nothing holding him or protecting him. Look at the next one. Like, how do you get there? And then who's taking that picture? And how is that working? Like, is that a helicopter or what? I think there's one more. Yeah, it's just, it's nutty. So what do all these people have in common besides, like, absolutely being crazy? Okay, they're all fearless, absolutely fearless. And because they are fearless, they're able to do things nobody else does, which means they're able to see things that other people don't see, which means they're then able to experience that which most people aren't able to experience. What do you think you would be able to do? What do you think you would be able to see? What do you think you would be able to achieve if you did not have fear holding you back? In the Hebrew scriptures, there's a story about a man named Moses, and God had called Moses to step up and lead the people of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into freedom. And Moses was called to take the people of Israel into the promised land. Well, when God initially approaches Moses in this narrative, they have this really interesting conversation. God selects Moses and tells him, hey, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Okay, the guy who's in charge, the guy who has enslaved you. And I want you to tell him to let my people go. So God has these really, really, really big plans for Moses. But you want to know how Moses responds to God when God tells him what it is that he has called him to do? Moses responds with a whole bunch of excuses. So first Moses says, wait a second, who am I, God, to go up to Pharaoh and tell him to let the people of Israel go? Like, I'm a nobody. He's not going to listen to me. And so then God asks him again to go and liberate the people of Israel. And Moses responds with another excuse. But this time he says, well, what if the people don't believe that you're the one who sent me. Like, I don't have any leadership cred. I don't know if I'm up to do this task. I don't even know if I'll be able to get everybody together and rally the troops. And so God approaches Moses again for a third time. And this time in the narrative, the scriptures say that God was getting angry at this point. And then God asks him one more time to go and approach Pharaoh and liberate the people of Israel. And Moses responds with another excuse. This time he says, well, God, how am I supposed to speak on your behalf when I have a stuttering problem? I have a speech impediment. How in the world am I supposed to say all of these things and do all of these things? See, Moses was afraid. And because Moses was afraid, he came up with every excuse that he could find to try and get out of that which he knew deep down inside he was supposed to do. How often do we do that in our own life? Like, we know we're supposed to go in this direction. We know everything instinctually is pulling us in that direction, but we're coming up with a whole bunch of excuses. You want to know why Moses was afraid? Ultimately, it was because of his insecurities. Your fear is always a projection of your insecurity. Anytime you see or smell fear lurking beneath that fear, at the root of that issue, you will always find insecurity, lack of self-confidence, and self-doubt. I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. There's no way I'll succeed. What if I fail? I don't know if people are going to like what I'm doing. Everybody's going to critique me. I don't know where the resources are going to come from. You want to know what I've noticed about that conversation that we continually have with ourselves in our head? All of those insecurities, all of those fears that you struggle with, they're just little tiny thoughts in your mind. And I know this is going to sound, it's so simple that it's stupid, but they're just little tiny thoughts in your mind that don't even exist. Like, they're literally an illusion. And the only way that those thoughts and emotions can become real is if you choose to believe them. That's it. I had a friend of mine who is planting a church here in the area really soon, actually, and maybe today. And he was texting me about how he's feeling. He's a little nervous. He's a little insecure. He doesn't know who's going to show up. He doesn't know how it's going to turn out in the long run. And so he asked me to pray for him because I've been through it before. We're here 2.5 years later. The church is doing well. And so he's talking to me and getting stuff off of his chest. And he says, Danny, would you pray for me? I says, oh, yeah, of course, I'll pray for you. But listen, man, I got to be honest with you. The doubt is not going to go away. Like, you're going to continue to doubt yourself. And in fact, it's probably going to get worse over time. But don't worry, it comes with the package. You'll survive. Mind you, he didn't text me back after that, so I don't know. It probably wasn't the best advice, but I was just trying to be honest with the dude, because the truth is, having those feelings of fear, having the insecurity, dealing with the lack of self-confidence and self-doubt is absolutely normal. And so when we talk about living fearlessly, the goal is not to get rid of all of those feelings and emotions. Really, the goal is just to learn how to deal with them. You learn how to cope with them. You learn how to manage them well. And you learn how to control those thoughts and emotions instead of letting those thoughts and emotions control you. But at the end of the day, it's normal. All of us struggle with this stuff. Moses struggled with this stuff. And God's response to us in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our insecurities, and in the midst of our self-doubt is a twofold promise. I want to read to you what the Lord says to Moses in the Exodus narrative, Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. I will be with you and I will help you. That's what God said to Moses, and that's what God says to each and every one of us in our fear and in our insecurity and in our self-doubt. I will be with you and I will help you. Yeah, but I got to take a really big risk and I don't know if this is going to turn out well. I will be with you and I will help you. I know, but you know, I'm going through some really big shifts and transitions in my life, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Everything seems really unclear. I'm scared. I'm worried. I will be with you and I will help you. I don't know about you, but that's all I need to get through my life. If I know that the God who created the heavens and earth has promised to be with me and has promised to help me, then in the end, no matter how I get there, I know it's going to be okay. Like, I know this. There's a woman by the name of Elizabeth Gilbert. She's a New York Times best-selling author. Love her books. You should buy them all. She talks a lot about creativity and inspiration and going after your dreams. And she talks about fear a lot as well. And she has this one little brief statement that I love. She says, "Your fear is the most boring part about you as a human being." Think about that. Your fear is the most boring part about you as a human being. You want to know why? Because fear only and always says one thing. It repeats the same thing over and over and over again. Fear is not creative. Fear is not unique. The one thing fear always says to you is stop. That's all it ever says. Stop. Your fear looks at the plans you have for the future. Your fear looks at all the things you want to do out there, and it always tells you stop. Why does fear tell us to stop? It's important to know why, because that way you can realize how foolish the voice of fear is in your life. Fear tells you to stop because fear wants you to feel safe and fear wants you to be comfortable. Anytime there is a feeling of being unsafe, anytime there's any sort of uncomfortability, your fear will perceive that as a threat. But here's the wake-up call for everybody, and I hope you really internalize this today. Going after your dreams is not safe. Growing up as a human being, maturing, experiencing transformation in life, changing, becoming the best version of you is never going to be comfortable. The only place that safety and comfortability will take you is absolutely nowhere. So by all means, if you want to stay stuck, if you don't want to grow, if you want to remain where you are for the rest of your life, go ahead and listen to your fear. But if you want to be everything it is that God has created you to be, you have to learn how to keep moving forward, even when your fear tells you not to. That's the big secret. It's all it is. Now, Liz Gilbert, she actually says that she talks to her own fear sometimes. It's really interesting. She says, "I write letters to my fear." In one of her books, she speaks about the fact that she conceives of her life like a car. Okay, she's in the driver's seat. Her creativity and inspiration goes in the passenger side. And her fear, which is always there with her, and we know that fear is always there with us, her fear has to sit in the back. Okay, now I want you to read what Liz Gilbert says to her fear. I think it's so helpful. "There's plenty of room in this vehicle for all of us. So make yourself at home. But understand this, creativity and I are the only ones who will be making any decisions along the way. I recognize and respect that you are a part of this family. And so I'll never exclude you from our activities. But still, your suggestions will never be followed. You're allowed to have a seat and you're allowed to have a voice, but you are not allowed to have a vote." I love that. Fear is normal. You're going to have fear. But the trick is you've got to learn how to keep fear in its proper place. I acknowledge my fear, but I will not let my fear make any decisions for me. I recognize my fear, but I listen to my faith. Big difference. That's the shift that so many of us have to make. Just because the thought is in your mind doesn't mean you have to believe it. It doesn't mean you have to go with it. We don't walk by, we walk by faith, not by sight. One of the first trips that my wife and I made when we first got married, we love to travel as much as we can, and we're trying to get it out of our system before we have kids. And one of the first trips that we made was to Sedona, Arizona. By the way, if you've never been to Sedona, Arizona, you've got to put that on the bucket list because, wow, absolutely beautiful. And so my wife loves to hike and, you know, go outside and sweat and all those things. And so we went to every park you can imagine in Sedona, Arizona. If there's a national park that exists, we went there, okay? And so we went to this one park called Slide Rock. Oh, you know about this? How do you know about that?
I have a brother that lives in Phoenix.
There we go. Phoenix is hot. Phoenix is miserable. We had to stop there before we went to Sedona, and it was the worst. So
too, baby.
Well, I'm never going back there in my life again. So we went to Slide Rock State Park, and when we got there, there's this beautiful like lake. Okay, I think there's a picture of the park. That's just like a little small little portion of the park. Okay. There's a little thing, a little cliff or whatever, where people jump off into that lake and that water. So we were there. Once Emily saw people jumping off, she said, "Come on, babe, let's go. I want to jump." And I'm like, "Why? Why do you always do that? Why are you always inventing new things? Like, why can't we just chill? Why can't we float, you know?" She wants to jump off of things and do all this adventurous stuff. So we, you know, I ended up somehow, I let her convince me, and we went to this ledge to jump off. Now, I was very tempted not to show you this because it's embarrassing. What I'm about to tell you is very embarrassing, being the reality of the situation. But I think you can see the little ledge that we were jumping from. Okay, in my mind, it was a lot worse than what it looks like, but it's right here. Okay, it's not a big jump, okay? But I was so scared. Okay, take this picture off, please. I don't want you guys to have the visual anymore. Okay, but that was the little jump, okay? But I was scared out of my mind. So we're up there, and Emily's like, "Come on, babe, jump." I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I can't do it. I don't want to. I'm scared. I'm nervous. What if I hit a rock?" She's like, "Babe, seriously?" We're going back and forth. I look back. I start noticing there's a line that's growing behind us. Okay, there are other people who want to jump, and these two crazy people from Miami are arguing, okay? And so Emily finally jumps. And then she's like, "Come on, babe, let's do it." She's making a show. So now I'm embarrassed because everybody's looking at me. And so I go to the edge and I'm like, I do one of these. I'm like, "All right." And I'm like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then I go back again. I was like, "Okay, I'm going to try and do it. I can't do it. I can't do it." I did this for about 5 minutes. People were getting so annoyed at me. They're like, "Dude, just jump. It's not that serious." Well, next thing you know, I'm going through this internal battle within myself. There's a dude that's standing next to my wife down there. Out of nowhere, I hear this statement come out of his mouth. "I guess all those muscles are for nothing, huh?" I said, "What? What did you say, bro?" I don't know how to explain it to you. It was like I was possessed by Superman in that moment. I took 5 steps back. I leaped, I thought I was gonna fly. I ended up just belly flopping on the thing, okay? But I soared out of there and I jumped. And can I tell you what I realized once I made the jump? Sometimes, okay, and this is a good life lesson. I'm grateful for that guy who said that, because sometimes it's the very voices that criticize you that end up propelling you to do more than you ever thought you could do before. So I'm learning how to say thank you to all of my critics. As much as I hate the criticism, I'm learning how to be thankful for my critics, because my critics, when I look at my very short life this far, my critics are the ones who have propelled me to do more, be more, and achieve more than I ever thought I could do in my life. They're the fuel to my fire. They build in me this resolve. I want to prove people wrong when I hear them talking about me or saying that there's no way I'm going to make it. Or, I mean, I've had people who say to me, "Oh, Danny, your church is going to close down and you're going to lose all your people because all the kind of churches that speak the way you do and talk about love so much, you know, that's not going to be able to do it, and you're compromising." And I've literally had people say, "Your church is going to die." You know what that makes me want to do? "Oh, really? My church is going to die? Let me take a selfie with the 15 people we just baptized last month or something." You know what I mean? Let me show you what we're doing in our community. The voices that criticize you the most are also the same voices that propel you to reach your God-given potential. I have a friend of mine who used to work at the Broward Outreach Center. I work full-time right now as a chaplain at a homeless shelter in Hollywood. And one of the guys who was working there as like a manager and a supervisor, he actually used to be a client in our program. Okay, just so you guys know who I work with on a daily basis, like, these are people who are fresh out of prison sometimes. If they're not fresh out of prison, they're fresh off the side of the road. They're addicted. You know, they come from abusive backgrounds. They struggle with a whole lot of mental health issues. Okay, so you're dealing with people who are going through a lot. This guy went through our program, graduated, went to college, got a master's degree, eventually got hired at one of our facilities. After about 5 years, he was promoted to the position of supervisor, not only over one of our centers, but over two of our centers, Hollywood and Pompano Beach. Well, one day he was talking to everybody who is in our program in a room kind of like this. And he was sharing with everybody about the fact that he wanted to get a second job to kind of help supplement his income. Mind you, he's been doing this for 15 years now. So that life is way behind him. Like, he doesn't even know what that life is like anymore. He's a new man. And so he wanted to get another job. But the problem is, as he has been going to search for a job, he's been having a whole bunch of folks coming out of everywhere, slamming doors in his face. Employers, I mean, jobs that he feels he is overqualified for are telling him no because of something that they found on his record from 20 years ago. And he was talking about the struggle that he has had and not giving up and not throwing in the towel. Think about how disheartening that is. Like, what else do I have to do to prove to you that I'm not the same person that I was? Look at what I've done with my life. Look at where I've been. Look at how far removed I am from all of that stuff. See, you gotta know, as you go after that dream and that calling and that vision that God has placed in your life, you're gonna have obstacles. There will be suffering. It doesn't matter what area of life you partake in. It doesn't matter what your specialty is. You are always going to have roadblocks. And if you don't learn how to expect those roadblocks, if you don't learn how to embrace them, you will be very tempted along the journey to look back where you came from and said, I think I'm going to go back there. And so many of us, we don't even realize when we quit, when we give up, when we want to go back to that place of safety and comfortability, we don't even realize we've spent so much time on this journey moving towards our goal that we're actually closer to where we want to be than where we were. So the journey to go back is going to be a lot longer than the journey to go forward. If you only knew how close you were, you would keep pressing. You would keep believing. You would keep persevering. And that's something that all of us need to learn how to do. You want to know what else I learned after I jumped in that water? I learned very quickly that the jump, obviously, was not as bad as I thought it was. It just wasn't. I thought it was this crazy thing I was about to do, but once I actually did it, I realized, shoot, it wasn't that bad. See, fear always exaggerates everything. Fear creates scenarios in your mind that do not exist. Fear amplifies things, and if you listen to your fear, you're gonna get paralyzed. Because that's what fear does. It tells you stop. And if you listen to it, you just won't do anything because you want to stay safe and you want to stay comfortable and you're scared of what would happen if you get outside of that box. When I jumped in that water, first thing that came to my mind was, I think I can do it again. And not only can I do that again, is there a higher cliff I can jump off of this time? Let me show you what my muscles are all about, buddy. You know what I mean? I was looking for a higher one to impress my wife and shut that dude down. That's what happens when you face your fear. Don't run away from your fear. Embrace your fear. Expose yourself to your deepest fear. Run towards your fear, because here's what will happen when you do that. The moment you look fear in the face is the moment that fear loses its power over your life. But you've got to confront it. You've got to be willing to face it. I love this quote from Paulo Coelho. He says, tell your heart that the fear of suffering is worse than the suffering itself. That story that you're telling yourself about how hard the journey is going to be is probably a lot worse than what the journey will actually be. Just go on the journey. Stop exaggerating things in your mind and getting yourself scared and nervous and anxious. You see, a lot of us, we're our own worst enemy. We speak ourselves into a mode of fear. There's no way I'll be as good as this person. There's no way that this will actually come true. There's no way that I actually have what it takes. Well, here's the flip side of that. If you can talk your way into fear, you can also talk your way out of it. So instead of speaking words of negativity and hopelessness, learn how to speak words of faith and hope and positivity and purpose. And I'm not that kind of preacher who's going to sit here and tell you once you start speaking those words, your circumstances are going to change. That's superstition in my mind. But I do believe once you do start speaking those words, your circumstances may not change, but you will. Your perspective will change. Your heart will change, your mindset will change, and when you become a transformed person, now you'll be able to transform the reality that you're living in. In the same way you convinced yourself that you could not do that thing, you can also convince yourself that you can. You can do it. You just gotta, you've gotta believe it, and you've gotta take those steps forward. That's all that life is, really. It's just one step in front of the other, one step in front of the other. And then before you know it, one day you wake up and you say, wow, I'm there. I don't even know how I got there. I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. Look at this passage of scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. This right here is a beautiful picture that can help give us a framework for how to discern the voice of God in our life. Very simply put, if it's a fear, then it's not of God. How do you know if it's of God? Well, what makes you feel empowered? What is it that you're extremely passionate about? What do you love to do? What is it that brings out the best in you as a human being? Whatever that is, do that even if you're scared to do it. That's what it means to live fearlessly. It means being afraid and doing it anyways. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward in the presence of it. Now, as we wrap up, I want to leave you very quickly with three rules for living fearlessly. Three simple rules for living fearlessly. You'll see them up on the screen. The first one is don't apologize for yourself. Just own it. I want to show you the picture of a woman who is bringing me a whole lot of life and inspiration right now, and I just discovered her. Let me show you this photo. This is Winnie Harlow. Anybody know who she is? Yeah. I just found out who she was, and I just go on when I'm like feeling depressed and I'm doubting myself and I'm like saying all this stuff to try and psych myself out of doing what God's calling me to do. I just go on her Instagram just to watch her be flawless. This girl growing up, she has, I forget the name of the skin disease, vitiligo, okay, so what Michael Jackson had. And growing up, they would call her zebra. They would call her cow. She was bullied throughout her life. One day, Tyra Banks found her Instagram, invited her to go on America's Next Top Model. She became one of the finalists. And now she's traveling all over the world. Who's she dating? Those of you who know her, it's like a rapper. Wiz Khalifa, everybody knows Wiz Khalifa kind of, right? If you're like, cool. Okay, yeah, so she's dating Wiz Khalifa. She's living that life. She's got all the money she could want in the world. And trust me, I mean, I put a nice picture. I wanted to put a picture up in her bathing suit, but I didn't want to get an email. But she's like, on her Instagram, she's just in her bathing suit. Half of her body is, you know, white. The other half is black. Her whole body is like this. And she's just like, don't care, doing my thing. The very thing that everybody else all throughout her life pointed out as a weakness, she began to own as a strength. And because she stopped apologizing for herself, because she started owning who she was, now she is bringing inspiration to countless numbers of people. Don't apologize for who you are. That thing that you think makes you weird is actually what makes you you. And so own it. Own it and watch how people will become more and more attracted to what it is that you're doing. Here's something I'm starting to live by now, and I'm realizing this just watching people live. I'm an observer. Here's what I have finally learned. There are no rules to this thing we call life. Like, you're literally just paving your own way. You are creating your own path. There may be a little box that some people have created. This is what it means to be a pastor. This is what it means to have a church. This is what it means to be a teacher. This is what it means to be a leader. Fine. Look at the box. Study the box. But, you know, the way I think about it is learn the rules so that eventually you can break them. Be creative. Be you. That's how you can begin to live fearlessly. The second rule is embrace your failures. They say that success is actually just standing on top of a pile of failure. Failure is not final unless you want it to be. You learn from your failures. You embrace your failures as learning opportunities. And then last but not least, this one speaks for itself. Never give up on you. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. Sometimes you're all you got in this world. So you better learn how to believe in you, how to have confidence in who you are, and how to exude that everywhere that you go. Don't give up on yourself, because God has not given up on you. And always remember, as you go through this thing called life, as scary as it may be, as fearful as you may be, the promise of God, the promise that God speaks over you, I will be with you and I will help you. And if God is with us and if God is helping us, we are going to be okay. Let me pray. God, today we open up our hearts to receive from you a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Remove from us any fear that may be lingering within us. Help us not to pay attention and give too much of a platform to that voice that is constantly telling us to stop. I know you have planted seeds of potential in each and every one of us in this room. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage and the boldness to go after whatever it is you've placed in our heart, to take the risk that we need to take, to be fearless in our pursuit of your purpose for our lives, so that we can make an impact in this world. We don't want to be held back anymore. We don't want to remain stuck. We want to follow you, and we want to follow your spirit into this wonderful adventure that you have planned out for us in life. Today, God, we release all of our fear and insecurity and anxiety and self-doubt, and we give all of that to you. Fill us with your spirit of power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.